Welcome back to Spirit Squared. I'm Andrew Darrington, your host. Tonight, we come to you from True Vine Brewery Company here in Tyler, Texas. We've got an awesome, interesting episode on board for you. It's episode 51. Before we get started, we're going to thank our sponsors. We've got Red Construction, Rex Consulting, Hoot and Holler Package Store out in Gun Barrel City. We've got Goosehead Insurance, The Vault, and the Humidor. Thank you guys so much for supporting us. Oh, also we have Truvine and we have Stanley's too, Stanley's Barbecue, which also sponsor us. Thank you guys so much. Without you guys, we cannot create this content. We can't travel. We can't upgrade our equipment. I really, really appreciate everybody. We're almost approaching 2 years, and without you guys, we could not do this. Tonight, we've got Vita McGregor here. She is a co-founder of the Belief Center, right?
Yes,
so glad to have you here.
Nice to be here.
Before I do a formal introduction, or you tell your story a little bit, let you let know a little bit about what I have in my glass. I've got Fortaleza Blanco. Josh says it's the best thing he's ever had. Vita's got a little Coca-Cola with a spirit in it. So we're going to have some spirits with some spirits.
Yeah.
And that's Spirit Squared. You know, that's how I came up with it.
That's what we do.
So, Vita, how did you get into, or how did you start the Belief Center?
Oh, wow. The Belief Center started. How did I do that? Well, I grew up in a place, what I call Warden June Cleaver's house, where I did not know that mean people existed out in the world. Uh-huh. And then when I got grown and moved out into the world, I discovered I didn't know how to, function. I didn't know how to fight. I didn't know how to handle conflict because I never saw it in my home.
Right.
All I saw was unconditional love and three generational layers. So I had no skills to do anything with negativity or conflict. Right. Had no way to navigate any of that stuff. Then I move into marriages that became broken.
Yeah.
And then I moved into the police academy. And then when I went through the police academy and EMT training, then I began to stack up some service wounds. And it was a combination of those things that brought me into depression and suicidal thoughts.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So okay. That's how it personally.
Yeah.
Necessity. That's what brought us about.
Gotcha.
To figure out how to stay alive in a crazy world that made no sense to me.
Right. And I think that becomes more and more challenging in today's age. Like you see, you know, suicides even at the teenager age and even younger, where something's microscopic or seems microscopic for us. I remember being a teenager, you get made fun of, it went away really fast because but now you've got the internet, you've got impressions, you've got AI that can replace a lot of clothing, hair, teeth, body parts and things like that. So I think what you're doing is incredible for all ages.
Thank you.
So what is the mission? What are you guys trying to accomplish? It's you and your husband, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Jerry.
And a whole bunch of volunteers.
Right. And a bunch of volunteers.
We're all volunteer. None of us have a paycheck.
Yeah. Okay.
Including myself. Yes.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about what you guys do. What is your mission? What are you trying to achieve with the Belief Center?
Well, with our classes, we're trying to teach people how to heal themselves. That's what we're doing. That's the sole purpose, so that we can eradicate suicide altogether.
Okay.
The most recent stats that I've seen, a 7-year-old committing suicide for being bullied at school.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but that gets really under my skin.
Sure.
For our children to not want to be here, it's not for us adults to do something about that.
Right.
Not at a let's just put something on top of it and make it look prettier. No, we have to shimmy all the way down to the root of the problem. And so that's pretty much what our mission is about, helping people get down to the root of their problems so then they can make root level changes and shifts in their behaviors and their beliefs that they didn't even come with. So it's really fascinating to experience.
Yeah, for sure. So you mentioned people that were involved. You guys have a kind of a catch name for those folks, right?
Yes, yes.
So talk to me a little bit about those folks.
Well, they're our tribe. We call them heart partners, and we're all just part of the same tribe. And tribe is humanity. But we call folks part of our tribe that complete our class Because when you complete the class, you have healed some spots in yourself that many of them you didn't even know were there.
Right.
So you start morphing almost immediately into a closer version of who you were born to be rather than how you ended up.
Right.
So something about that tribe and everybody having taken one step, at least one step, into that room one time, because it is an ongoing process. We call it unraveling. Because if you're any age at all, you have it all the way down to your toes. And you literally have to do it one layer at a time. That's the only way that it works. And we smash all of that onto 2 foot legs.
Yeah.
So that's our beautiful tribe. And they come from all over the nation. So
how do you find folks?
Sometimes I swear they drop right out of heaven. I don't know. But they just land right in our laps.
Yeah.
Referral. It's personal referral. Because when you're doing heart work, it's really hard to market that. Because it's based on each individual's personal experiences.
And nobody's getting paid, which is a hard sell, right?
Well, sure it is, because, you know, if you're not paying thousands of dollars, you don't think there's any value in it. Well,
right.
With us, we just happen to be that odd little, tiny little exception to the rule.
Yeah.
And over the last 10 years, 11 years that we've been teaching these classes, it's just been collecting and collecting and collecting and collecting. So it's pretty fascinating. And now we also are part of our local Chamber of Commerce, networking groups, that kind of thing. So we are getting the word out there, because now that I have so many volunteers, it frees me up to do that kind of work.
Yeah.
The word out there.
So you play a role of like recruiter. Jerry plays a different role.
Jerry teaches.
Okay.
He helps lead classes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Because even though we are a team and a class, right?
Yeah,
we have a team and the class. The team is in there wholly selfish, because we come in there to do our own work on our own self and with our own line. Yeah. So we simply stand up, give our example, sit down and do our own work, because you're going for gold every time we're in that ring.
Yeah.
So we're kind of all addicted to healing this.
Yeah, for sure. It probably does some healing to yourself when you lead. It's you're telling your story, you're medicating yourself in some ways, validating who you are, and then the path that you took to get, you know, to the point you're at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then so.
And that vulnerability to do it in front of people, it's so empowering to see those volunteers on the other side of that bravery. Because, you know, when you find out who you actually are, it's amazing what they did.
Yeah.
And that's what we get to. We get a front row seat to that process and all these lives.
Some of these people in here.
Pay somebody to get to do this.
Yeah. I'll take your money. No, I'm kidding.
There you go. I will pay somebody.
So some of these people in your tribe, have they been there the whole time? Or they typically kind of come and go? Or
the majority of them we've known for more than 20 years.
Okay.
And we've all been on the same path.
Yeah.
Of healing in different ways.
Sure. Sort
of things. But this one is sticking, and we're staying together, and it's a lifestyle. It's not just a fence.
Yeah.
So anytime they get word, ooh, we're about to have another one, boo, they start taking off work, making plans,
yeah,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's cool.
It really is. I'm just like, these people are doing this, and, you know. And
you're not just having them. These meetings in Canton, right?
Sir,
yeah.
For a couple of years.
Right.
But prior to that, we were going across the nation. So there was even one time that we got invited. The city of El Dorado, Oklahoma, hosted a class for the town. I mean, it was the whole town. It was like 40 people right there.
Right.
So we just never know, you know, where we're going to end up. But last month, emergency room director at the hospital, Christus Hospital in Canton, their department wanted it.
Yeah.
So it's random. Talk about random, and it's all people. Now, right. Classes, ordinarily, they're for 14 years and up. But you got to be pretty mature to be able to sit in a room.
Yeah, and listen to some of the content. Yeah.
But unfortunately, many of our teenagers have listened to and or witnessed to a lot of things that they haven't. And that has matured them to a point where they have to be. So, yeah. And we have someone right now working on an outline that will be appropriate for 6 years up to 13 years old.
Okay.
So we'll be long and we'll be able to get the littles as well. But yeah, we want the kids and we want the parents and we want the grandparents. Because when everybody is rowing the boat in the same direction with the same case, it is magic. Speaking the same language and practicing the same.
Josh, you remember the folks that we had on that do the golf? And I can't remember. First Tee came on, and they do a lot of that where they take kind of kids that are in tough situations and they give them a free access to golf courses and they give them golf clubs and they give them, I'm a golfer, so it's one of my favorite episodes. And the thing that I remember most is a lot of times they pick these kids up from school.
Yes.
And then they drop them off at home, and the kids, a lot of times, they don't want to go home.
I don't want to.
Right. And so the other thing is this. You've got someone who's, 7 to 10 years old, and you're teaching them manners, and you're teaching them, how to call a foul on themselves and how to pick somebody else up and encourage others and share and root on somebody else and be patient and all these other things. It's great. First tees, and they do Kent and they do Tyler and all that good stuff. What you're doing just kind of, to me, parallels
a little bit
of that for adults mostly.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about some of your classes that you guys do. How often do you do classes?
Well, again, it just really depends on who's hosting. If hosting corporations, businesses, whatever, the nonprofits. I actually ran into one of the counselors from our Children's Advocacy Center in Van Zandt County, and I'm going to be meeting with her here very soon to get in and help those families that are in those crisis situations.
Yeah.
But last year we held classes every quarter. We were doing one every quarter. And other than that, in between those, then we're filling in at this place and that company and here and there and all those kind of, other ways that fill in it. Yeah. So we're kind of always morphing. It's like if nothing stays the same, which is really fun. I know a lot of people like things to stay the same, but we don't. We like it to morph and keep growing and expanding, and that's exactly what's happened. So the flexibility has flown in for this year. And it's really exciting. We've got UConn. There's another one. We have lots coming up. We do have quite a few.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk about that. So is the class that you teach the most the Heart Skills Connect?
The class we teach the most is actually right now is Hearts for Heroes.
Hearts for Heroes.
We go into the Texas Department of Criminal Justice system, our state prison system, and we take the Heroes class into our veterans there. And started this back in 2018 and started working with the Cofield unit, actually, which is out of Tennessee Colony, right out of Palisade.
These are incarcerated veterans.
Yes.
Okay.
And the Cofield unit in particular has over 4,000 men in there. So when we first went in there, we taught a class from one of their books. And then after that, they were very interested in our Hearts Skills and Hearts for Heroes classes. Well, I was working with one of the reentry managers, and he was trying to get designated veteran dorms set up on their particular unit because they had over 400, I think, at the time.
Yeah.
So anyway, we were instrumental in helping get that launched in the state system. And so now we go there every week, and we are all about teaching people how to utilize and exercise these skills. And we want them to then take what we taught them and teach them.
Yeah.
Their world.
Teach the teacher.
We teach people to fish. So now, as a matter of fact, the current class that's in the Cofield unit right now, that's where Jerry went today, and that's why he wasn't able to be with us tonight. It was just a big day out there.
Yeah.
And which he sends his love to everybody.
Yeah.
They are leading their own classes. They've been leading this Hearts for Heroes class now for the last, this is May. Since this class started in March, it was. So, yes, and they're doing a remarkable job. And so now there's many other units that have now established veteran dorms. And so now they're all calling and wanting us to come to those other units as well across the state.
Yeah.
It's not just the male units, it's also the female units too. Yeah. We've already done a thief, but one of the female units in Gaines or Gatesville, Texas, down there. So it just, it's everywhere. And that's where we needed to get. Yeah, it's everywhere.
Very cool.
Vault Arms is your premier destination for all things firearms. Extensive selection of handguns, rifles, shotguns, and accessories. Knowledgeable staff to assist you in finding the perfect firearm to fit your needs. State-of-the-art gun range equipped with the latest technology for a safe and thrilling shooting experience. Take advantage of our professional shooting instruction and training programs suitable for all skill levels. Host your next group outing, corporate event, or bachelor party at our spacious and secure shooting facility. Committed to promoting responsible gun ownership and firearm safety. Fully licensed and compliant with all.
If you are looking for a reputable builder with a proven track record and a client base to back it up, give Red Construction and Development LLC a call. Red Construction offers full design build services for new construction, custom homes, and remodeling with free site evaluations. They have an A+ rating with the BBB and are proud members of the Tyler Area Builders Association, Texas Association of Builders, National Association of Home Builders, and the Lyndale Area Chamber of Commerce. Red Construction and Development LLC stands behind the exceptional quality of their work and have the expertise, the resources, and dedication to deliver.
Hey, podcast listeners, are you in need of some top-notch libations to elevate your next gathering? Look no further than Hoot & Holler Liquor Store in Gun Barrel City, your go-to liquor store for quality drinks. From smooth bourbons to crisp wines and everything in between, Hoot & Holler has one of the largest and most diverse selections in East Texas. Planning a special occasion? Let our experts guide you to the perfect bottle. You'll receive excellent customer service not offered in the big box chains. Visit Hoot & Holler today and let the good times flow.
So let's talk about, so the Hearts for Heroes,
yes,
and the Heart Skill Connect is very similar.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing. So,
but there are people that are frontline workers of the Heroes class that they are not comfortable being with people who don't understand.
Yeah.
Ghosts.
Yeah.
We're talking about.
But we're not just talking about incarcerated individuals, though.
No.
Like, there may be classes where, you know, everybody is there, and they're it's just general population.
Yes, and I have some veterans, or I have some first responders, and we put them together.
Yeah.
In that.
And then there's some extra offshoot trainings, yes, that are done.
Yes, we do lots of follow up.
Well, okay.
After the class, yeah. We don't just go, oh, here you go, and good job for you. No, we're like, okay, so how you do? Yes, and here's another class, and do you want to come and unravel another layer?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, we don't ignore you.
Yeah. So,
your healing process.
So there's a couple of things that I jotted down. So spiritual connections.
Yes. It's a three-part series. Connect up, connect in, connect out.
Okay.
That's what that relates
to. Okay. Okay. We don't have to go through it tonight. Okay, thank you.
It's all about.
But it makes sense.
It does.
Right?
Because if you try to heal one of those three areas out of order, you're going to be reaching to fall asleep with this.
Yeah, right.
And that's not what we're talking about.
Right.
You know, we're talking about learning how to navigate through our life, make peace with our past, basically, and have skills to learn how to live in peace and balance and be able to communicate with that. Murdering each other,
right? I like that.
Those are finicky, aren't they?
Yeah, for sure.
So.
Speaking of, the next thing I've got jotted down is a forgiveness of self.
Oh, there we go. And you know what? That's probably the hardest one there is. It's everybody finds it so much easier to forgive other people,
right?
But to go inside yourself and go, oh my God, and to literally and in every way possible let yourself off the hook. Not as easy as it sounds. But we will teach you and model to you how to learn how to do that.
Mm.
So it's really fascinating.
That's a tough one.
How to triage those feelings when they come in. Because We have to learn how to turn the volume down up here where all that noise comes in here. Turn the volume of our spirit up.
Okay.
So that this voice is louder than this.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I have to smack this thing around all the time, telling them to shut up. I got used to this. Because
right.
It's just trying to distract me from where this is trying to take me.
Yeah.
And it really isn't rocket science.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
It's fascinating how simplistic.
Yeah, it's what's fascinating is when you take one step forward doing the right thing or for someone else.
Yes.
You know it and you're validated,
mm-hmm.
but your mind tries to tell you it's too hard.
Yeah, I know.
And then your selfishness comes out and says, hey, you know, what are you doing this for?
Yeah.
It's not going to benefit you. All right.
Are you sure you have another
test? Well, I may have gone through a few things. All right. So next up is a family of origin. That was a tough one, too.
We do that one right out of the gates.
Yeah?
Well, because it's really important that when you're doing this kind of work, you got to know where the heck you're going.
Yeah, I think most psychologists are going to say, okay, tell me about your upbringing. Tell me about your, you know, your life when you're a kid.
About your mommy and
yeah, for sure. Like that's where they go to first.
Absolutely. Well, it's your foundation.
For sure.
Your foundation. Of course,
yeah.
Not everybody has the same family of origin. The family of origin. So it's not just mommy and daddy. Except many people are adopted.
Yeah.
Many people are adopted. But I can tell you that there is still an innate sense inside of those adopted children.
100%.
That still feel that rejection.
100%.
And being discarded.
You're saying 100%.
Kick to the curb. Our first breath. Our sore first breath. I've adopted all three of my family.
Yeah.
And I know the burden that they carry.
Yeah.
They come into my room all the time. So what's really...
Even if they were adopted into a great family.
It doesn't matter. The people who made them rejected them.
Yes.
And rejection is the number one issue humans have. We don't do well with that.
Yeah, for sure. Short story, Summer had Nathan before we got married. Summer had Nathan, my son, before we got married, previous marriage. And he signed his rights away before we met.
Yes.
And so we met, and I'm like, oh, my God, she's got a two-year-old. And so I go to his third birthday, and I'm there at Chuck E. Cheese going, I was in your mom, not you. But I mean, I'm playing the role because I'm interested in his mom.
Yes.
And so, but we go about our deal and, you know, obviously trying to be the stepdad for a while. And then, when he got to be like 7 or 8, cause we wanted to date for a while cause both of us had gone through divorce. I was like, I started thinking, well, I want to adopt him. But I want him to know what he's doing.
Yeah.
I want him to select and know where that he wanted me, kind of that type
and
thing.
And he's being chosen.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I waited until he was 12. And for that Christmas, I said, I don't want anything for Christmas other than to adopt you. That was it. And so when he was 13, I adopted him. But my point to the whole story is there's still that thing.
Yes.
And since... adoption and since, you know, getting out of high school.
He's grown now.
Right. He's met his real dad, you know, and because we wanted him to do that. We felt like he was old enough, mature enough to be able to cipher through the emotions and figuring things out. And we're closer now because he's kind of validated that part of his life was kind of over. But I still think that there's always going to be that thing.
Yes.
That was like, hey,
there was no closure.
Correct. Yes, exactly.
No closure.
He didn't get a choice.
No, he did not.
And but one of the most emotional times I ever had in my life, my grandfather was in the Navy. He was in the Navy. And we went and visited him with at the barracks. This was after the adoption, of course. And I saw his flight suit, and it had my last name on it.
I met
And I saw my grandfather wearing that suit. Yeah. And of course, his barrack was a mess. But I opened up the closet. I saw the flight suit. And I said, hey, I got to step outside. So I stepped outside. But I was so proud, you know, of that moment.
Yes.
But at the same token, you know, I was sad for his dad, his real dad.
Yes.
I was really sad that he missed out. And it was, of course, him and I have done a bunch of things as father and son that I could say he missed out on. But anyway, that's my story. But I do know I can identify. I'm sorry. I can't identify with that thing that you can't.
Yes.
Like it's a worthlessness.
It is.
That people that are adopted have or can have. And I think there are kids that probably know no different. They know this is my mom and dad. But then at some point they're going to find out. And then there's going to be that loathing or, hey, identification crisis, or, hey, who was it that gave birth to me? Who was my dad? Who's my mom? You know, the identity.
Yes.
Who am I? And so that's awesome. I love that. Building trust is another one.
That's a big one. Building trust.
Hard for people, some people.
Most of us have been burned.
Yeah, for sure.
By people that say, I love you.
Yes.
And that people are assigned to us and they're supposed to love us.
Right.
And so building trust, you can't build trust where there's still fear.
Yeah.
They won't grow in the same patch of land.
Right.
They just won't. So in order to build trust, you have to weed out and uproot all of the fears.
Okay.
And if you're any age at all, that's going to take a really
long time. Yeah, for sure. There's probably a lot that I wouldn't even be able to remember. You know, the other thing is you have people that let you down.
Oh, that's,
you know, that's another one, is that you believed in someone.
Yes.
And then they do something, they say something, they commit something, and now they've let you down.
Broken trust.
Yeah, exactly.
And then those people usually, unless you contend with that feeling on your own, then you will end up, it will manifest into bitterness.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, who wants to carry around bitterness for something that those are the people that they don't even know about it? Let's care about it. And yet the person who feels it is the one saying, yeah, for sure. So, the way, that's why we like to help get that up by the root.
Value and worth. That's a strong one there.
Isn't it cool? Start with that too. Okay. Because there's a mystery somewhere that our value and worth is based on how we behave or how we don't behave.
Okay.
Who we're born to or who we're not born to. That there's something we can do or not do that's going to affect that value and worth. And it turns out...
We're not in 1500 England, right?
No.
Yeah.
And it turns out that from birth, we are knitted in our mother's womb with every ounce of value and worth we're ever going to have. We can't add to or take away from it. And that's the facts. You can't. I'm not less of a person because I had some tragedy or whatever happened and I did something stupid or wrong, or if I was, whatever it is, there's still innate value inside of every single one of us.
Yeah, the way I look at it is, what are the incredible odds that you're a human? You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like billions to one that you're a human and not an ant or a honeybee or whatever. So the fact that you swam the fastest and you got there and a life was created and it was followed through with, as we know, I mean, that's there.
That's right.
You know,
it is.
Yeah. And so I was onboarded. I came into the world. I made it.
Yes.
Was nurtured enough to make it as a toddler. Then furthermore, I didn't kill myself, or I wasn't killed, right? I wasn't killed. And then you make it to school. And I mean, it's a miracle in itself.
It is.
That
absolutely.
You made it as a human. That to me, that's the way I look at it. When I look at value and worth is, yes, everybody has talents. Everybody does.
Yes.
Even the person that doesn't talk at all, great drawer, great painter, whatever it may be, they have a skill. They're a good listener. They don't talk a lot.
Yes.
Right? So there's skills and values or a worth that everybody has. But the fact that we made it here and we're on a planet that made it under just crazy circumstances And I'm not going to debate those circumstances.
No.
But there was a creator, created everything, all that good stuff.
Are you looking to optimize your drilling rig operations and maximize productivity? Look no further. Rex Consulting is here to power your drilling. With over 20 years of industry experience, our expert team provides tailored solutions that drive efficiency, safety, and profitability. From site assessments to cutting-edge technology integration, Rex Consulting is your trusted partner for land-based and offshore oil and gas drilling solutions. Ready to take your rig to the next level? Contact Rex Consulting today and send your operations to the next level in operational performance. Contact Josh Simmons at 918-637-9181. Rex Consulting, level up.
The Humidor is your online cigar retailing headquarters. Our experienced staff has spent years finding some of the best cigars from around the world to sell to our customers. If you're looking for an online cigar store that can help you find your next favorite smoke, welcome to the Humidor. We began the Humidor because of our deep appreciation of the finer things in life, a good conversation with friends, an aged whiskey, and, of course, a fine smoke. That's why, in addition to selling premium cigars online, we also operate a brick-and-mortar cigar lounge in Tyler, Texas. Our lounge is crafted to provide a classic ambience with modern sensibilities, and we've spent time ensuring that smokers and non-smokers have an enjoyable experience, whether they're there for a drink with friends or to enjoy the game.
Just the fact that we're here is just amazing. And there's a lot of crazy stuff that's happening right now, but it's amazing here.
It is to me, too. To me, I'm 63, almost 64 in July. I'm more excited than I've ever been in my whole life.
Yeah.
And people look at me and go, I don't understand what's wrong with you. They're on. See what's going on? And I'm not, oh, what's going on?
Sure.
I'm fascinated at the season that we're in because this is the season of birthing healing.
Yeah.
It just is. So I'm excited to be part of that.
Yeah, and there's more apparatuses out there. They're like, you know, who would think 20 years ago that people talking,
yes,
and packaging it up in a text message to where somebody could listen to it and go, this is what they do.
Yes.
And that's what we do with this is focusing on entrepreneurs and nonprofits, giving them something that they could package up, be proud of,
yeah,
in a text message.
It's incredible.
It's crazy. 20 years ago, we never thought about that. It was, you know, we were barely touching on a bag phone, you know?
Are you here? Are you reading my... Because I had bag phones. I didn't sell the bag phones slide across
Correct.
The dashboard.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We had it in the center consoles.
Yes, we did.
Okay. So, a connection to self.
That's where all the accountability is.
100%.
Because you have got no blame in that area. It's all about looking in the mirror and looking at your fear. And all the other things that you don't like about person. But nobody defines that except for the person looking in the mirror. The volunteers, we give our own version of about ourselves. But you got to find your birth because it's inside of you. So we don't do your work, we do ours. But we stand up and do ours in front of everybody and then we sit back down.
Yeah, maybe ask key questions.
Yes. Yes.
Try to peel the onion a little bit, right?
We combine... most of our classes consist of music videos.
Good.
I mean, a ton of music videos. I don't like lecture.
What?
Lecture is boring.
Why is music videos effective?
Because it gets people in their heart in 2 to 3 minutes. And I don't have to listen to somebody go, for 2 to 3 minutes. Like that. There is to the top.
The mainstream music videos, are they kind of like horny? Are they horny ones?
Well, no, we have I call it believer music, which, you know, it's like people who, churchy people. I don't mean to call them churchy, but you know what I mean.
Right.
Positive music. Then we also,
and are these filmed? These aren't filmed in like the 90s, right? So they're recent stuff.
We use a Jelly Roll. We roll before Jelly Roll was who he is.
Okay, nice. Okay, guys. Okay. So you're just using mainstream folks as references.
Yes.
Okay.
I use everything.
And then you're saying, hey, look, if you want to be a wrecking ball, don't be Miley Cyrus. Be somebody else. Like, do this, you know.
But the song that they're performing in your video relates directly to the topic that's coming up. And then once the music video plays, then a poem that was specifically written by one of our volunteers in Nevada. Then her poem, she reads her poem that also relates to the topic.
Gotcha.
And then the volunteer says, okay, here's my example for the answer, my example answer to the question.
Yeah.
And then they're done. And then the triads that are sitting all around the room, now it's their turn in their own little triads to do their own journaling, answer their own question.
How many people typically attend one of these? Like, I mean,
average couple dozen.
I mean, but so you're going, if you go into like, you're going into like a penitentiary or something like that. I mean, it's going to be a lot.
We have to hold them. We have to hold the ones in prison down to about, they want it 25.
25. Yeah. I was thinking two dozen.
We did 50 when we first started.
Okay.
Which went okay, but at that particular dorm, because of their jobs and all the other things that they had to be in, it did not logistically work well because we would do a morning class and an afternoon class. So that's why we morphed into this is a developmental program all the time.
Do the folks at the jail, do they get like a certificate of completion?
Sir.
Okay.
A certificate.
Yeah. I feel like that would be important to them. Because they can bring it back to their domicile and, you know, like, hey, for sure.
And it also goes into their file. Okay. Because when they come up for, because not only do I give certificates, but I also give parole letters for each.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't matter if they're in there for life.
Yeah.
Because there's been a couple of lifers that have actually gotten out since we came and brought our.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's awesome.
Yeah. And the ones that have gotten out, they were to be part of what we're doing.
Yeah.
Of course, goodbye. I think incredible. Awesome. How that's working.
All right. But I mean, typically it's like maybe a dozen, 15.
A couple of dozen usually.
Yeah, a couple. So 20, 25.
Yes.
Typically, even like for your Oklahoma event, you're hoping to have 20, 25.
We're planning 30.
Okay,
yeah,
30.
We're planning.
And those folks, they go up there. They have the hotel covered.
Yes.
And food. Okay. And 2 days of
snacks, water.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
We don't need you to have a penny in your pocket to come and find the healing
right.
you need. Or
just take a step forward, register,
that's it.
Qualify, and then show up ready to learn and ready to be open.
To deep dive inside yourself, because that's where we're going.
Right? All right. So the next thing I've got is a negative patterns. Yeah.
Okay, fine. That's kind of stuff.
This is like the one that's probably the most easy identifiable, but the hardest to kick.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think?
It's automated.
Yeah.
It happens without our permission or knowledge.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah.
So we actually have to stop it in process up here.
Yeah.
As a thought.
That would be a hard one for me to teach and train in a classroom when that's something that really happens at home. How do you teach and train? Like if I have anger issues, especially let's say I have anger issues when I'm driving, and that's my release or that's one thing that I really need to get a handle of.
Yes,
and that's me as a veteran, like that's my release.
Yeah,
like I. And there's been a couple times where it's been close calls.
Well, yeah.
How do you train that? Or is it more about identification and then understanding
why you're reacting? Yes.
And then.
Because there's a pool of fear inside of you that
feeds
that anger.
Okay.
And we will shine the light through the music and the questions, the journal questions, so that you can go in and shimmy down that root of that anger. And drop into that cool affair and find out what the hell's there. And when did it get there? And then we're going to show you how to dry that crap up.
Okay.
So that you don't have to keep automatically dropping into that just because somebody cuts you off in traffic.
Right. Huh. How do you dry that up?
Well, there's all kinds of different. And each of the skills, it depends on what works for you.
Okay.
Because there's a whole number of skills, you know,
right.
you can learn throughout the 2 days. So,
I'm upset because I lost my best friend overseas, and he was shot in the back, and I had to kill the person that shot him, and I'm I'm so freaking upset that I didn't shoot that person before they killed my friend. And now I'm almost coming to blows with people that I'm driving around. Because
you're mad as hell at yourself.
Right, and it's mainly people that are in front of me because...
That's what he...
That's exactly.
You're reliving, you know.
How do I drive or ride that up, though?
Well, you recognize, number one, what you just said. You recognize that it's happening.
Okay.
And then you have to put something intentional whenever you're triggered. You have to put something in there on purpose that that works for you. For me, I touch my heart with both hands because my head is going off my neck.
Yeah.
Because I had some reactiveness in myself as well from trauma. And so I have to physiologically move that energy that runs through our bodies and force it into my heart.
Okay.
To pull me down and change that polarization that's happening up there. Because I'm not listening to nothing when I'm up here. I'm not listening to this at all. I'm nothing but in that moment that I was in before.
Right.
Which is where that seed of fear and anger was.
Are there, I'm assuming there's times where you have to kind of pull people aside and say, hey, we're going to have to do a little extra work.
No.
No?
Never.
Really?
No, sir, never.
Okay.
Not
so long. When you're doing these
with tons of combat veterans.
Yeah, yeah. When you're doing these classes, let's just say you separate them. You've got combat veterans. You have, you know, the just say lay people, whatever you want to call it, civilians.
Yes,
on other side.
Civilians, yeah.
But so let's say we're in a combat veteran group. There's let's say 10 of them. And we're talking about things that are part of our negative patterns. Are you solving those things out loud? Or, okay, so everybody gets to hear
everybody
the solving of your issues.
Oh, no, only in your triad. We only put three people, or three, but we would keep that collection of the veterans together. Because y'all help each other.
Right.
So you'll have some in there
that
have already began their healing process and others that are further than you are away from it.
Gotcha.
So it's just amazing how just the collective itself,
let's see,
gives you opportunities to understand different ways but by their own examples of how what they found that works.
So it's healing through leaders and through the collective.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. Yes.
Got it. All right, so the next thing I have that you guys teach in these classes is called developing healthy coping skills.
Yes.
Yeah.
Coping skills.
Coping, when I hear coping, I almost feel like I need a babysitter.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I know,
right? Like, it's I just crazy. Need somebody to follow me around and make sure I'm not doing dumb shit.
Yes, 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 exactly.
Right.
Exactly. For me, I liked, when I was going through my mess, I liked cocaine.
Yeah.
And it's not just drugs and alcohol, and that's the thing. Everybody, when you say coping mechanisms, that's the only thing they think about. Well, what about shopping?
Yeah.
What about sex addiction? What about gambling addiction?
Muffing.
It really does.
There's a lot of things.
Work.
Work's a big one.
You like to be addicted to work.
Yeah.
Whatever takes you away and distracts you from what you're not dealing with inside yourself, that is when you reach for a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
If you're trying to numb pain, you got some root level work to do.
Right.
So that you don't need to do that anymore. And that's the only thing that helped me get off of that 3 years of cocaine and those violent relationships.
Yeah.
Was to get down to the root cause of why in the hell I was doing that. Why was I doing that? Because I had believed the lies from my partner who was abusing.
Yeah.
Well, then I beat myself up because I'm gullible.
Right.
And I did it again.
Yeah.
Because I'm on husband number four.
Right. I read that.
34 and a half years.
Impressive.
Thank you. 34 and a half years on this one. But when you trust right off the bat, like I did, I believe what people told me because that's all I knew. That's all I knew in my family.
Yeah.
And so that made me pray.
Yeah.
For predators.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, and men who don't deal with their own shit.
Right.
Yes, so you take a girl, myself, I'm a girl. You take a girl from the Warden June house, and you take a boy from two WW2 parents, a bomber pilot and a combat nurse, and you've got polar opposite people.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's been a long and interesting journey. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. The crazy thing is like my first wife, we were very alike, but our families were way apart. So it reared itself into a lot of, like, as we weren't together for a super long time, but, you know, there was enough polarization.
Yeah.
But we were very alike. So there was a lot of competitiveness, and then there was a lot of polarization. So it just wasn't going to work. It wasn't going to work. And I don't know her anymore, because she didn't want that connection, which is fine. I've tried. I think it would be amazing to know her again, just to know, like, hey, this is who you are now, because we're both married again. I've been married to my wife for 17 years. I mean, like, we're different on different life planes. And of course, me and my wife are polar opposites, like, which makes us perfect, because we fill the gaps that each other have. So it's, anyway.
All right. Cool.
So you have the Hearts for Heroes, which is applicable to civvies and for the incarcerations. You have the Heart Skills Connect, which is mostly for civilians.
Yes.
Okay. And then you have Prison Ministry, which is not necessarily for ex-military. It's just general population.
Exactly.
So
they have us so tied up with all the veterans right now.
Okay.
So we haven't gotten to do that.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So talk to me a little bit about some of the current events you have. Like, you guys have your hands in a lot of different cookie jars.
Yeah.
So I know that whenever I go on your website, we're focused on the event that you're having in June.
Yeah.
In Tuscogee?
Yukon,
Oklahoma. Oh, no, Yukon. Yukon. Yukon, Oklahoma. Yeah. So you have an event that's going to be like an official Heart Skills Connect,
right,
Hearts for Heroes event.
Right.
That's going
to
be
all?
Yeah, open to all. You register on their website. We'll post the website,
yeah,
once we get everything posted. But you guys are doing stuff like every day or every other day or once a week.
I am out working in our community.
Yeah.
Getting us known in our own community, because
right,
we spent the first half of the time that we've been in having this ministry running across the nation.
Right.
So we're just.
So what kind of things do you do? What is a day? What is a week in the life of the Belize Center look like?
Well, I am. I'm working on grants.
Okay.
I'm working on yes. Working on grants. I do a lot of, I don't do crisis intervention anymore. I used to do a lot of crisis intervention, but I don't, that's not part of what I'm doing now. But I'm in meetings all the time. I'm talking to
people. Meetings?
I do networking every Tuesday.
Okay.
And then we have meetings from that. It's called B&I Networking. It's a new.
Is that Van Zandt and Helmy? Yeah. Like, okay.
And
do you come into Tyler much?
Not a lot, but some, but, because we're just so busy.
Are you meeting with mostly like other nonprofits, or is it business leaders? Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Why is it important to have meetings with them?
So that they can understand what we do and what we bring to the community, and not only for the community, but what we have available for them, their employees.
Okay.
Them and their employees.
Ah, I see. Okay. So,
because it's for all people.
What do you do? What kind of classes do you do in Van Zandt?
I talk all day. That's
what. What do you? What kind of classes do you do in Van Zandt?
We do heart skills, but we have so many heroes that come to those classes.
But I mean, are you doing them weekly, biweekly?
We're doing them quarterly when we were hosting them.
Gotcha.
Yes, but this year we have, I think, 4 being hosted across the nation.
Okay.
And then what's going on in the prison, and then the developmental stuff that we're working on for the 6 years to 12 years old.
Gotcha.
So there's just all kinds of things that are morphing.
So when you, hold on, I'm trying to connect the dots here. Okay.
That's what we're
so doing. You're meeting with business leaders in Canton and Van Zandt County, that type of thing. And you're talking to them about what's available for their, potentially them and their employees.
Yep. Yep, and their families.
Right,
yep.
But you're talking about events that are happening quarterly at, you know, Yukon, Oklahoma.
Different places.
But you're not talking about anything. You're not talking about anything that's happening locally.
Not yet. No, we are in the process. Also,
you see how I'm connecting those dots?
Yes.
Like it would mean that, hey, let's say you have 25 employees that are part of your car lot, because you guys have, I think, a Chevrolet or GMC or something like that locally, and you're meeting with the, you know, one of the managers or something, and
yes,
we all know that out of the 25, 25 of them have something that's going on.
Absolutely.
Right? And so it would be extremely beneficial, yes, and be worthwhile for your conversation.
Absolutely.
Because it doesn't take someone that's at the end of the plank,
no,
per se, to go to one of your classes. It could be somebody who's struggling with being a parent.
Yes.
Or somebody who's struggling with having a conversation with their mom, their widowed mom, when they really favored their dad.
Right.
You know, you don't.
People.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
be currently in a crisis, right, to come to the class.
Right, but what I'm saying is at some point you're considering having maybe something in Van Zandt.
Oh, yes.
On a regular base, maybe once a month. Yes. You know, something like that. Okay. That's what I want to get to.
We're trying to get into our high schools as well.
I know you guys are already spread thin.
We are.
But
we need it.
But maybe somebody will come forward that's a really good, really, really good at speaking and at presenting and sharing and have the heart for heroes and all that kind of stuff, and be able to lead that in that I'm not going to call it a vacuum. I'm going to call it an opportunity.
There you go.
There's an opportunity there,
yeah,
to not only serve as Van Zandt, but also Smith County.
Yes.
And
go everywhere.
Right. But I'm saying a monthly
schedule
class that where you can go out in the community and say, hey, we're having a meeting at the Canton, whatever.
Right.
And we're going to have it at 7:30 and we're servicing everyone. We're trying to fill it up with 25 people. And you do it with Smith County. Hey, look, we're trying to fill it up with 25 people. You're a business owner. You have 20 individuals. We want you to talk about this. This is the things we do, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. I know you're going to do that.
Yes.
I can already see it in your head. I can see it. But, I mean, it takes a special person to do that.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And it takes a special person to lead that journey.
Yes.
And you guys are spread thin, which means you need another person. You need more people to step forward and tell their story and help others, et cetera, right? That are local.
Yes.
Because, look,
it's one thing to go across the nation, yeah, but I want my community to heal.
100%.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Selfish. I want my community to heal.
For sure. All right. So we talked a little bit about it, but what can you talk about with recognition and awards with your classes? Because that's a big thing for people to kind of, when you expose yourself and you peel back that onion, man, for you to get that recognition and kind of like people show support and recognize that you've done something vulnerable.
Yes.
Pretty big.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal. It still feels weird.
Yeah.
You know, I'm used to being in the ditch doing ditch work. That's what I do. That's what I thrive on. I love that.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. So when I got nominated by the governor's office for this award, for the governor's volunteer of the year award, I was like, what? Yes. What is he talking about? Once 3TBCJ turned out, somebody in there recommended us to the governor's office for our heroes class that we brought into the Cofield UX. Wow. Oh, shocked. I mean, absolutely shocked. Next thing I know, we're heading down to Austin, getting all these big, big trophies and all this. He's shaking his wife's hand, and I'm still just sitting there in awe of what's happening, because I'm a ditz person. This is all fluffy, bougie stuff to me.
Sure, sure.
So,
but it validates things.
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
I'm humbled. I'm surely honored. But yeah, that happened in 2043. I was shocked. I'm still surprised. And then we just got recently, what was that, just a couple of weeks ago, our Chamber of Commerce, they voted us a nonprofit of the year. I didn't even know they knew we were. Because of being a member of the Chamber since we started.
Right.
And, you know, the networking that I have been doing the last 10 years, I've made enough connections, and, you know, that I don't know. We got nominated and enough people voted, and I'm sitting at the table because I'm up against, you know, they actually emailed me from the Chamber and said, I just want you to know that you're in the running for this award.
And you're like, what award?
And you, I did, what award? And she said, blah, 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 blah. And she said, and you're not registered yet to attend the big gala.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, so you went, okay. Okay, well, I'll make sure and get on there and register for that. I'm like, okay, that's B. So we get there, and I was, nobody knows who won. There was like two awards out of all the thousands of awards that they gave.
Sure.
And I'm looking at the screen. I'm like, oh, my goodness, that's the Children's Advocacy Center. I mean, they're, you know, organizations that have been around that I actually volunteered with and stuff that I have so much love and appreciation for. And I was like, oh, no way, you know. But now I'm okay with not winning an award.
Here comes the break part.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I love fresh bread.
Yeah.
Can we just take a moment for a fresh bowl? Yes. I love it. I love fresh bread.
Yeah. That's Sola.
But that's sad because it's empty.
I think that's their roofing. That's their proofing rack.
Roofing rack.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're not going to follow that until it's ready to
go. Yeah, for sure. For sure. You guys were on a podcast recently, or like a, I think, kind of a podcast. Weren't you? I can't remember the name of it. It was on
Breaking the Silence.
Yeah, Breaking the Silence. Yes. How was that?
Incredible.
Yeah.
He's a doctor, a therapist, and one of our longtime from the very beginning volunteers works for him. And she was like, "Hey, I'm working with Howard. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, you got to meet him." Blah, blah, blah. And I met him at her wedding. Actually, and next thing I know, we're
gonna schedule there.
It's done. Then next thing we know, we're on it.
So yeah, it was a good experience.
Great experience.
Yeah,
awesome. So I get an opportunity, and that's really my primary role.
Yeah.
It's just getting the message out there: who we are, what we do, and why we do it. Because without people knowing and learning, then people aren't gonna get involved. Obviously,
yeah, for sure.
It really is all about helping people learn how to unravel. And the effects of their own trauma.
Yeah, to me, that's recognition in itself. Like, if you get invited on something that we can package up and it gets distributed, like, our podcast, once we hit Amazon, Audible, it got distributed to the world, and we've got followers from, like, 39 countries, which is nuts to me. And one of our guests, who's here in Tyler, because we focus on local, mostly local, we've had a couple of, we had one international, and then we've had a couple from DFW, but all the rest of them have been local. But one of our local guests, she messaged me a couple weeks after we get done with our podcast, and she's like, hey, she wanted the transcript, which I've never had a request for that. I'm like, transcript? What are you talking about? She goes, I wanted, you remember this, Josh? She said, I want a transcript. So I'm like, what in the world? She's like, I want to frame it. I'm like, really? So this is our banter back and forth. Like, I ask her a question, she answers it. I ask her a question. Like, it's pages of stuff. Really? You want to frame this whole? She goes, no, it was a special experience. And you just have to know the guests. Like, we had a lot in common. There was a lot of, like, things that she knew about me. She was, what do you call it? Not paranormal, but where she could like read my thoughts and psychic. She was psychic, and she could read palms and this idea. And also there was a lot of different things where we talked about, like, secondhand experiences where deja vu happens, and I've had some experiences there. And so she did a whole reading for me, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool. And so anyway, we do this thing, and she asked for the transcript, and then, like, she asked for that, and then, like, 2-3 weeks later, she messages me. She says, I just want to thank you guys so much. I've had a number of new patients. She does Reiki, and she does a lot of different things. Non-traditional type stuff.
Yes.
But helpful for a lot of people that can be open-minded. And she goes, I just had 3 new patients from Minnesota alone. I said, Minnesota?
That's incredible.
What are you talking about?
We in Minnesota?
No, no, but
I know.
My third guest was a organ transplant coordinator. So he had two screens. One screen was people dying. When people screened, people needed the things. And he did it for the University of Minnesota. So he shares it. The next thing you know, it's in the hands of people that are in Minnesota. They share it. The next thing you know, she's got three new patients that she's doing virtual therapies for in Minnesota. So it's hard to get my mind around.
Oh, no.
The impact of something like this, where we're having a conversation and it can be shared, it can be shared, it can be shared, it can be shared. Like I said, once we hit Amazon, it was like you got people in Zimbabwe listening to you, or South Africa or whatever. It's crazy. Anyway.
I love it.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay. Let's talk about the Belief Center's future. Well, guys, what do you guys have planned for the future?
Well, we eventually want to build a campus.
Okay.
So that we can host classes.
Yeah.
In our own building.
Okay.
Which requires that we slow down long enough to do that. But it'll all fall into place, just like the last 11 years has fallen into place.
Right.
That we're required to
pay. You'll find an opportunity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What are you operating out of now?
I have a little shed.
A she shed?
A she shed.
Yeah.
And that's my office.
It's the Belief Center she shed.
I call it the lily pad.
Okay, the lily pad. Okay, so you operate out of the lily pad, which is in your backyard?
Yeah, front yard,
yes. Oh, it's in your front yard.
Well, we live on 8 1/3 acres, but kids and grandkids 100 yards.
Okay, okay. Nice. Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Well, with them being there, it's got to be agged out. You got to be able to ag out some kids.
Oh, yeah, it's fun. It's really a lot of fun to be out there with your family. And, we want to get the building. We want to get the building. But the primary thing that we want to do is just get exposure. We need exposure. People are dying and taking their own lives every day. They're killing others because they don't know what to do with their feelings every day.
Right.
This week, I think it was in the news, or maybe it was last week, there was a man that his son just graduated from high school. Did you see that article?
Yep.
And he killed all four of them.
Yeah.
And it's all because of feelings.
Yeah.
Understand?
Yeah.
People are hopeless because they have feelings they don't know what to do with.
Yeah.
And I have to help them.
Yeah.
I have to help them. My life depends on being able to give them the skills that we humans have got to have in order to navigate this crazy place that we live in.
Yeah.
And all the things that we've been through.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
Yeah. So that's really my sole focus is the exposure part.
Yeah. I love it.
I need it. I got to have it. People know outwardly that we're not in this for the money.
Right.
Not possible to be in this for the money. Do I want to draw a paycheck one day? Absolutely. Of course I do. But that's not my motive. My motive is helping people learn how to save their own life. In my police career, my first gig out of the academy, and I went to the academy as an old-ass woman. I was 30 when I went free. So I'm in there with some 20-year-old boys in there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. 20-year-old young man.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was sitting across for a minute.
No, it's fine. Taser, taser, taser.
Exactly. And my first gig out of the academy was the mental health unit for the sheriff's department. I learned I can't save everybody. That's a really hard pill to swallow.
For sure. But I think that some chemical balance imbalances can be balanced.
Oh, they absolutely
can. And I think that
there's I believe it stems from those
I think that
lots of unhealed.
I think so too. Brain. Yes, I think there's also some therapies that get shunned.
Oh, absolutely.
And that are out there
for
that
people that don't understand what these therapies are.
Sure,
they make fun of it. And
there's powerful chemicals that can make people adjustable.
Absolutely, I agree.
And I get it.
Absolutely.
On the wrong hands.
Yes.
It's not a good thing.
All of those options in our room.
Yeah, for sure. Move to a state that allows it, right? Louisiana. I didn't know Louisiana made it legal. I went over there. I
had no idea.
Yes. I went over there this last weekend, and I saw a ton of signs that said, marijuana stop, you know, here's a dispensary. What? I didn't know that.
I did not either.
It was news to me.
That's incredible. Oh, I have veterans that I work with that live across the nation, and some of our VAs are actually partnering with local, like, Catholic, that's been, yeah. One in particular I'm thinking of is, it's like a Catholic hospital, and they are with the VA system there in Connecticut where he is, and they actually have gotten him off of the 34 pharmaceuticals that were prescribed to him initially that he attempted suicide and was in the hospital for 4 months over.
He needs like one and maybe some psilocybin. That's it.
Telling you.
It's done.
He's off of all of it.
Yeah.
Except his little blood pressure pill.
Yeah.
I think.
It's done.
So it's crazy.
Yeah.
Why can't we have real medicine?
Look, there is none. It's pharmaceutical run.
Yeah, I know.
And the doctors doctors are in on it because that's what makes them money.
How they get that money?
Exactly. And, you know, they're playing golf on the weekends and on the weekdays with the rep and the owner of the business and whatever. And it doesn't just stop there. I mean, it's also in prosthetics and and in joint replacement. And it's a broken system. We all know it. Everybody knows it now. Yes. It's been talked about a lot of times. And so you got to find the right doctor that's going to do the right thing, understand you.
Yes.
And if you don't get understood there, then a lot of people are going overseas to do it. That's that. It is.
When we have so much here.
Agreed.
We're just looking country in the world.
I know. People are going overseas, and we're not talking about overseas. We're talking about Mexico, Tijuana, which is not the greatest place.
No.
But they're going there to have dental work done.
Yes.
Because it is
my parents went there for
dental. A third of the price. And you don't have to use any of your insurance.
No.
It's a third without insurance.
Yes.
Crazy.
It is crazy. I'm not supposed to.
I don't like
that.
I don't either.
I don't either.
But I mean, anyway. Okay. We went down a completely different route.
I like
that. And I normally go
rabbit trails.
That I don't normally go down. I try my best to keep out of, you know, politics. It's not really political.
It's humanity.
It's real.
It's a humanitarian issue.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about how people can help the Belief Center. Obviously, spiritual support.
Yes, please pray for us.
Volunteers are a big thing.
Yes, and you have to come through our class and go through it in order to become a volunteer.
Okay. You basically, like a Dale Carnegie class, you have to go there, you have to learn what's going to happen, you have to open yourself up, you have to go through the steps, you have to heal yourself, and then you can become a volunteer, correct?
Yes. I should say the average folks, it usually takes them 2 to 3 classes in order to get to a point where they're comfortable enough to stand up in front of the class and be vulnerable to shine their shit to the rest of their
life.
And that takes a little practice to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
Because public speaking ain't easy for everybody.
Not everybody, yeah.
We are finding out in your work.
Well, I mean, I've been a public speaker for a long time.
Yes, I am.
And very easy.
But we're not the average bear like that.
Yeah, like I was a leader in high school.
Fears on the planet is public speaking.
I was a leader in high school, so I was giving speeches to the rest of my, you know, guys, whether that's in the locker room or in the huddle or whatever. And then it kind of bled into college. I was a leader there. Not so much, but still kind of a leader, vocal. And then whenever I got out of college, I was in sales.
Yes.
So when you're in sales, you're doing a lot of presentations.
Absolutely.
And the more you do it, the more you're confident in it.
Yes.
And you get into a lot of nonverbals. So if I do this and I talk about this,
yes,
it's hard for you to say this.
That's exactly.
So I got into that kind of pattern. And then I took classes on presentations and things like that, and it forced you to just speech writing and stuff like that.
Yes.
And then debate.
Yes.
Get you into that mode, and so then it makes it very easy to talk.
Oh yeah.
And be persuasive.
Yes.
So and then it also makes you a trainer of people.
It does.
So then I can be influential and I can kind of get you to do what I want you to do. Yeah. So, hey, let's role play, which is kind of the adult style learning.
Exactly.
Let's put you in a scenario of real life and let's go through the motions of what it's going to sound like in the future. And that's really how people learn.
It is.
Adults.
Yes.
Kids diff way different. Let's draw, let's draw your mommy, your daddy, and where you're at and what's happening and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, it's different. Teenagers, much different.
Yes.
Take the phone away. I need your full attention. Let's talk about, school life.
Yeah.
Who's your best friend? Who do you not like? You can dive through a bunch of different things. But as a public speaker, I never had an issue. And probably the biggest audience I ever had was probably right around 4,000, which is a pretty good size audience. And I worked for Walmart.
Okay.
And they asked me to come to one of the corporate meetings. This happens on Sundays.
Yeah.
And the CEO's there. A lot of important people there. And a lot of people that live nearby are there and where they're doing announcements. It's something that happened phenomenal in my area, my territory. And they wanted me to come and share the word and how Walmart benefited the community. And they gave me 5 minutes. And the night before, I'd written, kind of like developed it. And I practiced it like 10 times because I knew 5 minutes was 5 minutes of Walmart time. Yep. And so anyway, now I'm kind of going down a different. So
not the speech, but
I
got to know the end.
So it was the guy in front of me had 5 minutes. He lasted 7 minutes. The CEO called him out and I was like, oh my gosh, my heart was racing. And the divisional vice president, when I walked out, walked to the front and I was like, oh man, I better get this right. So I start talking, presenting. And kind of going through the motions of like what happened, what we did, and the ending result, how we saved somebody's eyesight in that case. And I finished it in 4 minutes. And I looked at I'll never forget this. I looked at this. They flew me up there. I'm eating meals. I'm,
they're whining at us
for 4 minutes, right? And I get done with 4 minutes, and I looked at the CEO. This is how brash I was back then. I looked at the CEO, and I go, I gave you a minute back.
Hold them.
And I was like, see ya. So I get done and the DVP's like, dude, you crushed that. And I'm like, I'm definitely in line for a promotion. There's no doubt. And it never happened, but it was just a great moment in my life.
Right.
And in public speaking.
Superstar.
Not everybody can do that. No, loved it. It really gave me an adrenaline pump.
Yes.
And then dump. I had to go eat like a steak or something right after that. All right. So you're looking how to help a grant writer. You're a grant writer. But, if somebody has a...
Help, I need me.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, it's almost a full-time gig.
Yeah.
Just to write.
Just to find out where the pockets are. And
we don't want any government money.
Yeah.
We've never taken a penny from any government money. Don't intend to ever. No United Way money. None of that kind of stuff.
Right. There's always, something attached, right?
We don't hand our purse strings to another organization. You just don't. And so our support, my husband, we live on his disability. And so it's always, tight as can be. Been in an RV for 9 years, almost 10 years.
Oh.
Blah, blah, blah. So, when he got hurt 11 years ago, he was a world-renowned robotics controls engineer.
Wow.
He went across the world and made magic for all automated processes. So he built the brains and all those automation manufacturing processes. So think M&M Mars, GE, Chevrolet, all those kind of things.
Right.
Awesome. So he went from that to a traumatic brain injury.
Right.
Completely
and now it's disabled. And a nonprofit.
Disabled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. So
unbelievable.
It is.
Sound equipment is listed here.
Well, we can take that off because.
Okay. So you already have some.
Incredibly.
Oh, okay.
We were at one of the quarterly Chamber of Commerce meetings this last month.
And our Van Zandt County Veterans Memorial, one of the board members was there, and I sat with him because we're like this. I love my Van Zandt County Memorial.
Yeah.
We're partners. And he said, y'all got a sound system? And I said, no, sir, not yet. But, you know, we're kind of moving towards being in the market. We haven't needed it because the place where we were holding classes for a couple of years had their own. So it wasn't a hot thing anymore. Anyway, and he said, well, we're going to give you ours. What? I said, well, I thought y'all, okay, thank you very, very much. So now we have a wonderful, beautiful PB sound system that is cute.
Right.
I mean, kill it. Like, I love to bring you into that little feature and bang it ass off. You know what I'm saying?
Awesome. Awesome.
One other thing you have listed here is networking. So, I mean, obviously, that's an easy.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So any access.
Share it.
Yeah, any access that you have for sharing information.
Because we're on Facebook, Instagram, all the things. We know. I don't think we're TikTok-ing, but anyway.
Yeah. For sure.
I'm sorry, TikTok. Yeah, I say things weird.
No. Right?
It is, yeah.
So what else? I mean, what else? We've covered quite a bit.
We did.
Yeah.
The main thing is people who are wanting something different and they're wanting healing in their own lives and the lives of the people around them.
Yeah.
Whether they work with them, whether they go to church with them. Because the beautiful part of our outline is it can go in one topic a week. It can be done from one topic a week to all of the topics in 48 hours.
Can you share
anything in between?
Can you share a success story?
Yeah.
Just one? I know you could probably share like 100, 200.
I'm going to tell you my favorite.
Okay, tell me your favorite.
There's really hundreds.
No, I know.
But my favorite one I just got off the phone with right before I left.
We'll just call him Bob. Or is it Sheila?
Let's call her.
Sheila.
Let's call her Sheila.
Okay.
Yeah, Sheila and her husband, Bob, are a married couple, retired Army.
Okay.
They have two children, beautiful children, and I've known them for, I think we figured out, about 14 years.
Right.
And they live in Illinois. Okay. And they came to a class with an organization I used to be with, and that's where I initially met them. There we built the Belief Center and Hearts for Heroes. So they then came to our Hearts for Heroes class. And this was probably out of 5 or 6 years after I had met them initially. So didn't really know them.
Yeah.
But knew them, you know, casually like that. And they come down and, oh my goodness, they came to our very first Hearts for Heroes class. Very first one in White House over here. And they were hooked. Both of them combat veterans. Both of them not wanting to be here or stay here and trying to figure out.
You're talking about on Earth.
I mean on Earth.
Yes.
Yes.
Both of them were suicidal.
Both of them had levels of hopelessness that they didn't know how to manage. Yes.
Wow.
They were not outwardly suicidal.
Yeah.
But they had nowhere to go with all
they just
baggage.
Needed. They just needed a trigger and they would have been there.
Yes. Right. That's yes. Okay. Well, I got off the phone with. So not only are they doing fabulous after, I think they've been with us, well, the entire time, they started with us. And she just graduated with her master's degree in social services.
Okay.
She had no desire to go back
to
school. Nothing. Just wanted life to just get the hell over it.
Right.
And then she ends up going back. She's working for Adult Protective Services. Starting incredibly.
Nice.
The children are healing.
Yeah.
On a daily basis,
right.
They are no longer passing that poison down the silver.
Yeah. So you see generational healing.
Incredible, yes. Yes, yes, yes. And it's funny because when we had this class in White House and they drove down, two cars, two service dogs, two kids.
Oh.
And it's a weekend thing.
Yeah.
And they're willing to do that every time we have a class.
Wow.
I don't know. You know very many combat veterans would be willing to do shit like that? No, either.
I got a lot of friends that are very dedicated.
Well, yes, absolutely.
And they're very patternized. Like, they like a pattern. They're very dedicated. And
thank goodness for that military dining.
They know themselves very clearly.
Very well.
Yeah, and they're willing to call themselves out on the carpet most of the time.
Yes.
Most of the time. Has there... I'll
ask this one last question, then we'll wrap up.
Okay.
Has there been a time where you guys were in class... And you've had to stop class and like, hey,
chase after somebody?
We probably need to, we need a sidebar here. Like, somebody share something that maybe was, like, pretty graphic or intense.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, this person may need some special help or something more than what we bargained for.
We really haven't had anything quite like that, but what we do have is we have volunteers that are designated if anyone to be on the lookout for anybody in the room that's struggling, because we have a master social worker.
If somebody comes in crying, did you know, like, hey, okay, you're in the right place, but dry it up. No, I'm kidding.
I can tell you that the reason why we don't really get that kind of thing is because the way we set up the spirit of the room.
Yeah.
Because the spirit of the room is one of safety.
Yeah.
And one of anonymity.
Right, right.
And when you set that space up like that, it kind of helps release a lot of that fear and anxiety.
Well, the fact that they took the step coming forward to do it is kind of like an award in itself.
It is.
So you're already feeling good about what you've done.
Right.
Because you know you should be there, and you're there. And so you
walk into this room that's full of love because the tribe, the volunteers, they are actively healing. Yeah. So the environment.
You got Spooder.
Oh,
and you got
snacking is better. You got to eat to do hard work all day long. And we feast all day long. And we like to do meals together because you fall in love with each other when you go into the ditch.
Right. Oh, yeah. For sure.
I mean, it really is like that. We become battles.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Because you're going after yourself and your own crap.
Right.
And other people are doing it alongside you, and you're really the...
Other than me not being a doctor, how did this vary from your experience on the other podcasts?
Oh, it's relaxed. This is very relaxing.
Okay.
I didn't get to drink.
Yeah,
there.
I'm sorry. I forced you to talk.
There you go. But I don't know. It's just very... To me, it's more casual, and I really like it. And it's just me. No offense, I love you, Jerry.
Right.
But it's just me, and I'm, you know.
I find it with entrepreneurs and nonprofits so easy for them to talk about their passion.
Well,
it's easy.
It is easy.
That's what makes.
That's what
I hate to.
It keeps me up at night and gets me up.
I hate to like group everyone together, but it's like it's what makes you guys easy guests.
Thank you.
Because. You're so passionate.
You don't have to ask for the information.
It's so easy for you to tell your story,
it
too.
Like,
it's so simple. And you have such a deep passion. It's easy. All I got to do is set it like a little agenda. And you tell your story.
Yes.
And I love it. I love it. All right.
And I appreciate the way that you have this set up. Because it really does make people at ease.
I know. We kind of... This was happen chance. This was happen chance that we ended up together. We ended up with someone who cooked us up together who's not connected anymore, but nonetheless, we still scheduled it, and I still...
She's going to get you into where she is now.
I know.
What is it? For Saturday, we're going to go to the speakeasy, and she's going to play piano.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
About 5 o'clock on Saturday, come on over to Will's Point.
All right. Sounds good.
That was wonderful, Andrew.
Yeah.
Thank you so much
for
what you do and what your team does.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, you know, with nonprofits, again, we live on their red line on purpose because we give everything away and then some.
So that's why we're booked until March of next year.
Holy cow.
I know.
Yes. Right.
I like finishing every podcast. This one may be tough for you.
Okay.
So I like to finish it with shout outs.
Okay.
So this could be a mentor. It could be friend, family member. It could be someone who was influential. It could be somebody who wasn't. I've been surprised a lot over 51 episodes. 51. Yes.
You're getting old.
I know. but talk to me about somebody who... here's the other thing I like about this. I'm not trying to sway who you're going to give a shout out to.
Anyway, go ahead.
But a lot of times people, I tend to try to persuade them to give a shout out to somebody who either listens to the podcast that would love to hear their name on a Spotify or Amazon Audible podcast, or someone who's maybe doesn't listen to a lot of podcasts and that could be introduced to the podcast world, and you could say their name and now they're on a podcast that's broadcasted worldwide. There's your stage.
There's my stage. Look at that. Whoever will it be?
Right.
Whoever will it be?
We know we've talked about your husband quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't talk about him.
But yes.
He already knows how he is. Yes, he already. I have got to say, it is my girl, Heather Nasser.
Okay.
Heather Nasser, way up there in Illinois.
Okay.
Is my hero.
Yeah.
I've had the pleasure and honor of having a front row seat to her life and her family and her struggles and her victories for a long time. And she encourages me to keep going and to keep striving and to keep moving because this shit is hard.
Yeah.
That we do.
Yeah.
And so she is the great encourager for me because me.
You're in
the ditch. I am in the ditch, and I'd have to reach for somebody who's stronger than me.
Yeah.
And Heather Nasser is stronger than me.
Yeah.
Yes, she is.
It's awesome.
And I'll tap on that girl any day of the week to get her support and her encouragement.
Yeah.
And for her to hold my tears.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I love you, Heather.
Yeah. Yeah. Vita,
what
you're doing matters. Yep. Exactly. It's valuable. It's hard. But I have a saying that anything that's hard
is worth doing.
Is worth doing. And they don't give trophies that give a darn to folks that just ease into things.
No.
So when we...
And I'm
when,
not a participation trophy kind of girl. Don't you dare.
I'm not a participation...
That's weird for me.
I want to do the hard stuff and win at it.
Yes, that's
and sometimes it takes a while.
It does.
And sometimes you're not going to see the progress. You're going to get frustrated.
Want to
put it. But at the end of the day, the wheels are still churning.
Yeah, they are.
You just
right back up.
You don't feel them. You don't. It's not happening as fast enough. But at the end of the day, you look up and you're a mile down the road. You're 2 miles. You're 5 miles. You're 10 miles. Yes. That's my weakness. Is not seeing that type of progression and then being thankful for it.
Yes.
And so I hope that you see that.
I do.
And you appreciate the small wins.
I do very much.
They add up to big wins. And I think that's what you're doing.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you for noticing.
Yeah, for sure.
If you know, most people don't slow down long enough to notice those little things like that.
That's right.
It means so much.
Yeah.
And it really does.
Yeah, it was great having you on. It was great having you on. Appreciate it. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks so much for tuning in. Next podcast, we've got another podcaster coming on. It's the first time we're going to have two podcasters. Yeah. No, it won't be a battle. She's a great friend. Aaron's a great friend. And her husband, Richard, who does counseling. So we're going to have a lot of things going on. She's got a book that's about to publish that goes into a lot of different things, mental capabilities and complications. I'm looking forward to having Aaron and Richard on. They're very, very good friends of ours.
Can't wait to listen.
Nine, and I can't wait to have them on. Until then, thanks so much for tuning in.
Thank you.
That's it. Congratulations.
How is that? That's so this fun. I like it. Anytime I can talk about this shit, I absolutely I'm not going to do the drink anywhere. I love this. Is my favorite. They'll tell the other.
Yeah, get their feelings hurt.
For sure. Where do we finish?
Just under an hour and a half. Oh, sweet. Okay.
Well, look at that. Not too bad, huh? Yay. Thanks, Doc. Oh, yeah. Not bad, by the way.